a bench on the water, waiting for company. November 12, 2022 by Louis Vincent Balbi. A bench in parks, fields, and woods is a godsend for worn-out little ones with short legs sore from keeping up with mommy's and daddy's long legs. The same for those old, slow, weary walkers with stiff, uneven gait and wobbly, unsure step, whose well-worn, worn-out feeling bodies find it hard to keep pace with their desire to explore, walk, and hike as they once did without conscious effort or thought, once upon a time, before their faces revealed the roadmap of their travels through time. Even teenagers, 20-agers, and middle-agers greet the sight of a bench with a grateful smile as they sit, pause to take in their surroundings, inhale nature's sweet air, slake their thirst, and tighten loose laces. For all who unexpectedly come upon a bench, it's almost always a welcome surprise. Even twitchy squirrels hop on, and birds alight on this unnatural human-made structure when bored with garden variety rest sites. One overcast, cool day in March, on a walk at one of Long Island's arboretum parks, the one alongside the Connecticut River, after heavy rains made the waters overflow their usual bank, their normal shore borders, I saw a startling sight. A bench not on the path, nor on the grass, not on the ground at all, but standing on the water. Never seen that before in all my years, ever. And so, like all memorable things that one will never forget, as is the modern common custom of this ditzy digital age, I took photos, photos, photos. Then I wondered, after looking with focused eyes to record that image in mind's memory rather than viewing the scene on screen, how would it be if someone sat there? Maybe me. Then I imagined, sitting out there on that bench, ass on the hard wood, feet and ankles submerged in cold, flowing water, bottom of my pants legs drenched, feeling that imaginary chilly wetness urged my aged bladder to release. My astral self hurriedly left that vivid vision so as not to pee my pants, for there are consequences for one's thoughts of things real or imagined, as well as one's actions. Then I realized, a parked bench is one thing, but a docked bench quite another. Seeing things not in a usual way engenders a sense of wonder or depth of appreciation for things blending into background blur by might-as-well-be-blind, inattentive eyes. Concrete dwellers and tourists, squinty-eyed by years of staring at garish neon, and now victims of glaring too bright, light-emitting dancing diodes that burn afterglow blobs in blinking eyes, look up and see nothing but a night sky of gray haze. One night, they may find themselves like Saul, blinded after a ride on the road to Damascus, who then received both sight and spirit, if they are blessed, to regain ancestral senses out in the dark countryside, where the ground is hallowed and the grass urges taking off sandals and shoes, so that souls can be touched and ears awed by invisible hands, stroking the lips of leaves who whisper nature's green prayers. And then, when their nose is enticed by the spice smells of growing things, they will hunger for something more. Out there, those one-stim stars above their city, with an unnatural halo of light-polluted sky, will now dramatically reveal their brilliant glory, there in that natural cathedral of dark skies, where some humans learn humility, while others see nothing but darkness, when they find themselves facing reality's clarity, dwarfed by distant lights afloat in a black sea. Those who know the stars we see are so incredibly distant that years have passed since they're sending forth their light, understand those stars we sight are only a memory, an image written in time's traveling light. And so, their visage silently testifies when upturned, rapturous faces, with mouths agape, gaze up beyond terrestrial height. I summon to mind Louis Armstrong. See his wide, bright smile. Hear his weathered, wise voice sing. Indeed, what a wonderful world this is, where such amazing things exist. An Arboretum park bench patiently stands in water, waiting for someone to sit on it, to enjoy a rest in the view. Unable to understand why passers-by keep walking past, ignoring it. But not I, for my eyes habitually scan for out-of-place things, to take note and revel in wonder when fortunate to experience such beautiful strangeness. And now, the truth, why my astral self fled from sitting on that bench on the water. It wasn't that I felt the urge of impending urination, but because I felt an urge to stay and never leave, chilling me to the bone with terrified rumination, not from mere cold water imaginings. Feeling another's loneliness to that point, where it resonates in your deepest parts like an unbearably penetrating bass sound, so loud, so arrhythmic, so irresistible that it alters the beat of one's heart, so that your own loneliness is amplified, is perilous. Because that communion is not two lonely souls being happy for each other's companionship, but rather being miserable together, imprisoned in their darkest of black spaces, like two once valuable precious pieces of jewelry lost on a beach and dragged out to sea, dropping in value the farther away from human appraisal they descend as they sink to the solitary ocean bottom, never to be seen again in the light of our golden sun, and eventually, inevitably, unable to see even each other in that dark forever. That bench must have felt my palpable desire to keep it company, sensed my empathy for its imposed solitary confinement. It must, because what is the purpose of us, the conscious stuff of dust, if not to connect with all things, either with concern or conversation? But unable to actually converse with it and unwilling to remain, I excitedly, or was it desperately, called out to my grown son walking nearby and shared the sight, but none of my odd duck thoughts or feelings of its lonely plight. Then I slowly walked away, giving them space to get to know the other as much as they felt right. with a final look back, I noticed something overlooked before, something dark and broken. Below and behind the bench, blackness rippled. Its shadow, or shattered reflection, bobbed on the water's wavering surface, futilely stretching out, trying to touch land. I smiled, surprised by those hard-luck shiny shards of cracked mirrored flotsam from that stranded bench. They danced excitedly, like a hope-filled shipwrecked sailor sighting a passing ship that might provide welcome rescue from his lonely island's cold-hearted imprisonment by its barrier of barbed iron distance. I turned away, but took everything I could carry of that day with me. I was no longer burdened by the weight of dark thoughts, because the sight of that bench's reflection appeared to hold hope. Its desolate situation might have a finite end, and that hopeful belief often offers comfort. For even imagined hope is hope of a sort. When all else fails, reach for imagination's light. For dark musings can be endured and fought when one first imagines fighting the fight.